Welcome to Right Now. I'm your host, Stacey Chappell, coming to you live from Las Vegas.
Joining me tonight is Richard Fenton and Andrea Waltz, who are the owners of Courage Crafters, Inc., and the creators of a groundbreaking business building strategy called Go for No. Through their book, Go for No, learning materials and keynote speaking, they have made it their mission to help people turn failure, rejection, and fear of no into a powerful positive so they can reach their goals and dreams. Richard and Andrea just completed their 98-minute personal development video documentary, Yes is the Destination, No is How You Get There, that features top achievers including Jack Canfield, Bob Berg, Lisa Jimenez, and many, many more. Their Go for No messages have been in numerous publications, including most recently Success Magazine. Thank you for joining us, Richard and Andrea. I'm so glad you're here tonight.
Thanks for having us, Stacey.
Yeah, it's a real pleasure.
You call yourselves the Go for No people. What does Go for No refer to?
Well, I'll start off by answering that. Go for No, it sounds very counterintuitive, and it is, because most people are very interested when it comes to business in their own, whatever it is, coaching practice or what have you, in getting yes, right? Go for yes is kind of the mindset we've all been trained to have. Go for No is the exact opposite. We teach people that in order to achieve your goals, your dreams, and then in fact you can have virtually anything you want if you are willing to hear no often enough. So we teach people to go out of your way and increase your activity, and that is get more no's, thereby getting more yeses.
I see. So one reaction might be that this sounds negative. How do you respond to that idea?
Well, one of the things that we've found, Stacey, and especially after the movie The Secret came out a couple of years ago, people do have this kind of law of attraction mindset, and that mindset is that I want to attract all of the positive things into my life. I want people to say yes to me. I want to be successful. And when you hear people say that, you realize that they have this belief that yes is good and no is bad, that success is good and that failure is bad. But what we've come to understand and what we teach people is that yes and no and success and failure are not opposites of each other. They are actually opposite sides of the same coin. They're, I guess you could say, a package deal, that you don't get to have one without the other. And most people, when they wake up in the morning, they say, my mission today is to get people to say yes to me in my business, and I'm going to try to avoid having people say no to me. Well, if you're avoiding having people say no to you in your business, there's only one way to do that, and that's to not approach anybody. Because in business, if you're going to be out there trying things, being creative, taking chances, going for yes, you are going to encounter a lot of no's. So we get people to understand the connection between yes and no, and to understand that when you hear the word no, your first thought should never be negative or that somehow you're on the wrong path. You should be actually saying to yourself, terrific, this is great, I'm making progress, because every time I hear the word no, I know that I'm moving closer to getting to the yeses that I'm looking for in my life.
That's a very excellent way to look at it. Well, what's the first thing someone should do to start being a person who gets more no's?
That's a great question. Well, the first thing that we suggest people to do is to really take a look and see how many no's are you getting. You know, when you're a go for yes person, a lot of times people take a look initially and they realize that because they avoid putting themselves in situations where, you know, they might hear a no, they aren't hearing any no's, right? It's like they might have people that they want to call on or contact, maybe to engage in some potential business, but they figure, oh, the person's just going to tell me no, so I won't call on them. And so what happens is they have this continually go for yes mindset. So the first thing we suggest people do is really take an honest look at how many no's they're getting for about 30 days and then start to increase that. Start going after and calling on people that maybe they wouldn't have originally for fear of just being told no.
You talk setting no goals to get fast results. What does that mean?
Yeah, we talk about setting no goals in order to really get started quickly. And here's what we mean. We don't mean to set no goals. We mean to set a goal for the number of no's that you're going to hear. So as I said earlier, the first thing you want to do is to create a no awareness. Really take a look and see, are you actually hearing no in your life, in your business? And then start setting a goal for the number of no's you're going to get. So, for example, you know, when Rich and I first started in our business, and it really is a business of where we sell speaking and training workshops and things like that, when we first started, you know, we had a typical yes goal to get 4 bookings a month. And what would happen is once we got those 4 bookings in the month, once we hit that yes goal, we would just stop. We would slow down. We were done. We hit the yes goal. So the flip side is to set a no goal. And so we decided to set a goal to have 100 companies say no to us each month. And that was the difference. What happened was we would get those 4 yeses along the way, but rather than quit, especially when we were on a hot streak, we would keep going because we had set a goal for the number of no's we wanted to hear. And so that's what can be so productive when it comes to setting no goals is your performance doesn't get slowed down by just setting those traditional yes goals. You actually find that you increase your performance because you're just focused on the behavior, that is, making follow-up phone calls, prospecting, and doing some new business development, and focusing on getting those no's out there.
Well, who does this work for? Does it take a certain type of person to be able to do this?
That's the interesting thing, Stacey, is that Go for No is a concept that kind of is the, I guess you could say it's the great equalizer in business. You know, in business, so many people look at the top salespeople in their companies or they look at the top performers in their business and they think, boy, I wish I had their gifts. I wish I was born with their talent. You know, I wish I had, you know, the answers to all the questions and the charisma that they have. And the reality is that when you interview these top performers, what you usually find is that these people don't necessarily have more talent and they weren't born with any special gifts. What they have is an above average, what we refer to as no quotient. They have an above average ability to hear the word no and rather than quit, to keep going and going and going. And so when you look at somebody who's a higher performer than you are, the wonderful thing about Go for No is that you can actually outperform the highest performers in any industry if you are simply willing to hear the word no often enough. And when you combine the idea of having a high no quotient, getting up again and again and again, with setting an extremely high level, high goal for the number of no's you're willing to hear, you find that the average performer can outperform the top performer in any business. And so, to the contrary, it doesn't take a special type of person to be able to do Go for No. Go for No is the actual strategy that makes people special.
Well, it's my understanding that at least most of the population, almost 90-something, will quit around the 4th no. It'll quit significantly before the... at 50% after the first, I think, and then it continues to go up. And so if you can just keep going past that, then you more than likely will succeed. Is that correct?
Right. And statistically, the numbers that we've come across suggest that it's about 44% of people who give up after hearing the word no one time. And then another 22% give up after the second no. 14% more give up after the third no. 12% more give up after the fourth no. So what you've got is 92% of people who have given up, stopped calling, quit the process after getting 4 no's. And yet the miraculous thing is that the research that we've looked at suggests that 60% of all customers say no 4 times before they finally say yes. And so people wonder, well, how do I get into top 10% of salespeople? And the answer is you want to still be there calling on people after that 4th or 5th no when the majority of customers are still in the marketplace and finally ready to make their decision. So it doesn't require in many cases, that you have the best quality approach in the world, or that you can answer every objection that anybody throws at you. What matters is that you're still there in the game, slugging it out when the customer is finally ready to say yes.
So, well, how does all this concept really interact with the law of attraction?
Oh, Richard, you're so good at answering this.
Yeah, well, you know, with the law of attraction, the key thing is that people who believe in the law of attraction, and by the way, Andrea and I are great believers in the law of attraction. We have studied it. We consider Jack Canfield one of our great gurus, and we've probably watched the movie The Secret 40 times. So we're very, very, you know, strong believers in the law of attraction. But what we find is that people who are afraid to attract no into their life, seeing it as a negative, as I mentioned earlier, they also, by default then, therefore, don't attract yes into their life. You have to see yes and no as being a package that you cannot separate. The funny part is, you know, in the Eastern world, which is much more enlightened when it comes to the connection between success and failure, in the Eastern world, they see yes and no and success and failure so intermingled that they think of them as like opposite sides of a black and white yin and yang sign. They see them as so connected that they cannot be separated. We, in the Western world, seem to see, you know, see yes on one end of the spectrum and no on the other end of the spectrum. And then we think it's our, you know, what, should we go left or should we go right? Should we go for yes or should we go for no? In the East, they would see themselves on the far end, and they would see yes and no as connected, and understanding that if you're going to get one, you're going to get the other.
I see. Well, that makes sense. What are some of the positives that happen as a result of your strategy?
There are so many positives. One of the interesting things about Go for No that we like to teach is that it's not just a business philosophy. Certainly, we teach people this philosophy and this concept so that they can go out and bring in more business in whatever business they're in. However, Go for No is really a life philosophy. It really comes down to being willing to ask for what it is you want. So many of us have just gotten to the point where, whether it's fear of hearing no, fear of the failure that we perceive it is, fear of being rejected, all of these fears, we just have stopped asking. And so Go for No is really a great life philosophy. If you, we always say, you know, if you're going to dinner with your spouse or significant other and, you know, they start showing you to this table in the back next to the water station, and there's a cute little table in the front window with a cute little candle on it, and it's the perfect one. Well, that's the moment where you should say, hey, can we sit in that table, to go ahead and go for no, because what's the worst that can happen? And those opportunities and those moments are all over the place in your life. And so Go for No teaches that, you know, you've got to ask. You've got to put yourself out there and be willing to hear no, and then eventually get to a place where you want to hear no, because you know that that's going to bring you closer to the success you're looking for and the great things in life and the achievements that you're trying to get to.
Well, what do people do who have strong fears around trying out this strategy? What do they need to do?
That's a wonderful question. As I said, you know, a lot of people do have a significant fear around hearing no, and one of the things that we teach people is really that they need to start reprogramming really how they think about the word no. You know, so many people think that if they get one no, that they're going in the wrong direction, that they're failing, that they're a failure. And of course, that's the last thing that we want them to be thinking. So it is a slow process, and depending on your own personal issues around the idea of hearing no and the failure and rejection, for some people, you know, it's really quick, and for some people, it takes a long time. One of the things that we suggest people do right off the bat, though, is start celebrating when they do hear no, specifically from a business development standpoint. if you are looking at how many no's you're hearing in your business and you say, wow, I'm not getting any no's, and you set a no goal and your goal is to hear 5 no's from 5 potential new clients this month or potential prospects, and you reach that goal of getting those 5 no's, that's when you should celebrate. On the flip side, a lot of people think that they, when they got 5 no's, that they should be depressed and that they're doing things wrong. And we say that's just the opposite. When you get those no's, when you hit your no goal, that's when you should go out and celebrate. And so that celebration, that kind of rewarding yourself for the behaviors of business development, rewarding yourself for getting into action, rewarding yourself for being willing, you know, to take a chance, put yourself on the limb there, is what should be celebrated and what should be rewarded. And when you continuously do that, you can begin the process of reprogramming how you think about it, and then some of the fears go away. For some people, again, it might take longer because there is a lot of fear around it, but it can be done.
Excellent. Well, let me ask you a few questions about you two. Who inspires you?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, geez, who inspires me? Well, you can probably guess that Andrea and I inspire each other a lot. And I will tell you that when we first started in this business, I don't think I would have taken the chance to start the business if I didn't have Andrea's support and inspiration. And I think the reverse is true as well. She wouldn't have taken the chance if I wasn't there cheering her on. But putting that aside, I am always most inspired by the stories that you hear of somebody who had an idea and went to whoever that, you know, those parties happened to be, whether they were, you know, the bank or whether it was their boss, or whether it was, you know, an invention they'd created and they took it to the marketplace. We're always most inspired. I'm most inspired when I hear about somebody who just continued to slug it out in the face of massive failure and massive rejection, and when there was absolutely no reason to believe that ultimately success was going to ever appear, and yet they continued on this path because there was something in their heart, something in their soul that told them that they had to keep going. And when they achieved the success, when they finally reached this, you know, magical place, I think that we all, you know, would like to get to. It's why we're all inspired when we hear these great stories of persistence and tenacity, that everybody around them said, oh, of course, you know, it was, of course they were destined to be successful. It was such a good idea. You know, it couldn't have failed. And it's not true. In almost every case, everything we think of as the great idea really probably was not a great idea when it started. You look at Stephen, you know, you look at Jobs and Wozniak at Apple. When they started, nobody in America had a personal computer. The computers at IBM filled complete rooms. IBM had already done an assessment where they said the total demand for computers in the United States was 8. That's how many they thought could be sold, you know, so they didn't even try. And here were two people who had what really was a bad idea, and yet they had a vision that they stayed with long enough for it to become the success that it has been. Those are the people that always inspire me.
All right. Well, how do you inspire others?
Oh, well, I hope that we're inspiring people through our book, Go for No, and our movie that we created, the Yes is the Destination, No is How You Get There, and through speaking. And those are the tools, and hopefully we are inspiring them through not only our personal story of learning to go for no, but kind of being collectors of everyone's go for no story and circulating those around so that our goal really is for people, we really are on a mission so that people don't let no stop them. We see so many people who have these amazing goals and dreams, all different types, and they get stopped just because they think that hearing no is on the wrong path. And so it really is our mission to get the stories out there and encourage people that failure is okay and failing big is good and that it is on the path to success. It's not off the path.
All right. Well, that's a very good answer. Why did you choose this as the arena for your great work?
Well, in our particular case, Go for No wasn't so much a topic that we chose. It was a topic that chose us. The actual event that led to us writing the book Go for No and then eventually launching our speaking business around it was something that happened to me early in my sales career when I was sailing miserably and was working for a clothing store, and I was lucky enough to have a district manager, a man by the name of Harold, who watched me work with a customer. I had had a very big sale, and I was just so certain that he was going to be impressed. And he came up to me, and he wasn't impressed at all. As a matter of fact, he asked me a question that would literally change the course of my life. He said, you know, Richard, you know, what did that customer say no to? And it was kind of funny, Stacy, because normally I would always ask myself at the end of any sale, what did they say yes to? And, of course, the answer to that is always you look at the sales check and you see everything the person purchased and you see how much, you know, how much dollars you generated, right? And he asked me the reverse question. He said, what did that customer say no to? And I stopped and I thought about it and I realized that the customer he was talking about didn't say no to anything. This was a man who bought every single thing I showed him. And I told Harold, I said, Harold, he didn't say no to anything. And then Harold asked me the other really great, you know, great question. He said, well, then how did you know he was done? And I can tell you that in retrospect now, I know how the customer, you know, how I knew the customer was done. It was because I had never had a $1,000 sale in my life. And when this customer got to $1,000, which was an amount that was so big at that young age that I didn't think anybody would go past that, I literally just shut the sale down. And I realized that I was selling from my own pocketbook, from my own limitations, my own, you know, expectations. And Harold said, you know, I watched you sell and you're not half bad. He said, but your fear of the word no is going to kill you. And then he said, but if you could just get over that, he said, I think you could become one of the great ones. And so really the Go for No concept was something that was kind of, I guess you could say, dropped into our laps by one of those people who refused to let me be less than above average. You know, the idea that he would let me be average was unacceptable in his eyes. And as the years went on and as I introduced the Go for No concept in all of the jobs I've ever worked in my life and had great success with it, Andrea and I decided that that really was the message that was worthy of us devoting our lives and our careers to. And a decade later now, it turned out that that was right.
I see. Well, what is your most, well, how do you define success, first of all? How do you define success?
That's a great question. I think right now I'm defining success as being feeling that I'm doing my best to fulfill our mission. I think there was a time when, you know, I defined success as reaching a certain income level and or selling a certain number of books. And, you know, it's funny, like, I think back in a few years ago, had someone told me we would sell 100,000 books, I probably would have defined that as success. Well, we're way over that now. We're like at 150,000 books sold, and that still doesn't feel like success to me. I'm not anywhere near done. So I'm kind of defining success on a daily basis, and that is if I feel that I'm fulfilling our mission and that I'm in process of getting in position to speak to people to share the message or connecting with you, Stacy, and doing this interview. And if I go to bed feeling like I did what I could to share the message, then I really truly feel like I was successful for the day, and I kind of have to look at that on a day-to-day basis now.
I like that. Well, what is your most powerful moment of success or life change?
Well, I can tell you that for me, my most powerful moment of success was asking Andrea to marry me. And you may not think that that's a big deal, but you have to understand that I asked Andrea to marry me every day for over a year. We are talking over 400 times in all without missing a day. And every single time I asked her, she said no. And one day we were walking through a Macy's department store, and I said, you know, are you going to marry me? And she said yes. And I was so used to having her say no to me that at first it didn't even register. And then I realized she'd said yes. And being a good salesperson, I knew that this was an important time to go close the deal. So I ran off to the jewelry department. I bought the ring. I ran back and found her in the shoe department where she was sitting in a chair and a sales associate was kneeling in front of her, sliding a shoe on her foot. And I knelt down next to the sales associate and slid the ring on her finger. As Andrea usually jokes, she said, you know, this was one of the highlights of her life. Not so much because she was going to marry me, but because she got jewelry and shoes all at the same time. But I consider that to be the great success. And, you know, we always joke to people when we say, you know, go for no, it is not just a sales philosophy. It is a life philosophy in every possible way.
It sounds like you walk the talk 400 times. Andrea, why'd you make this poor man ask you 400 times?
Well, you know what? He started way too early. We had just gotten to know each other, and so I had to hold out there for a while.
Well, I think it's a very sweet story. I love it. What are three of the most important personal tips you can share for achievement and fulfillment?
Should we go back let me
start with I think one of the three tips we would tell people, and staying within this world of go for no that we train, I'm going to say that within every no is the information needed to move forward. You know, so many people think that when they hear the word no, that they're at the end of the line. And I think one of the tips that people need to understand and live by is that when they hear the word no in any given situation, the first thing they should be wondering is why. Why did this person say no to me? What can I learn in this situation? Even though I didn't get the yes I was hoping for, what can I gather from this individual? And sometimes it's as simple as saying, wow, that's you know, interesting. I'm surprised you said no. Could you please tell me why? And in that moment, you will gain some type of knowledge or insight. They'll tell you that your product is too big or too small. It's too black or it's too white, it's too expensive, or it looks too cheap. Whatever, it's the wrong time, the wrong day, the wrong buying cycle. It doesn't matter what the answer is. The point is that we open ourselves up to the idea that within every no, there is still the seeds of information that will help us eventually on down the road to where we can eventually get to the yes that we're looking for.
I see. All right. Well,
okay, I'll go with the next one, and this is dear to my heart because it's one I've dealt with through my life, and that is, it's actually a quote that I got from a book, and it was actually just a fun, goofy, fictional book. But anyway, the quote is, people aren't thinking about you, they're thinking about themselves just like you. And that's one tip I would share with everyone. It's a little bit go for no in that we tend to overthink things. But I think that we do tend to rely way too much on what other people are going to think of us when making our decisions.
I like that.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah. The third tip that I would think, the thing that I think is very helpful to people is to understand that it takes no more energy to get a big no than it takes to get a small no. Most of us tend to live our lives too small. And by that I mean we go for the small sale. We go for the small client. We go for the easy yes. Well, you know, the easy yeses just produce little successes. If you're going to get somebody to say no to you, why not make it be the big account? Why not have it be the big opportunity? You know, why not take a big chance? And it reminds me of the story of somebody who had attended one of our seminars, and she set a no goal of getting 10 no's for the week. It was Friday afternoon. She'd gotten 9 of her 10 no's, and she said she was actually depressed that she didn't get the 10th no. She wanted so badly to hit her no goal for the week, and she suddenly realized that she had been avoiding her next-door neighbor because he was a doctor. She saw him as a very successful professional man, which I'm sure he was, but she just thought for sure that he would never be interested in her little home-based business, so she kept avoiding him. And now here it was 2 years later, and she thought, hey, I've got my 10th no to get. This is the guy that I should go after, and because he's going to say no for sure. So she got dressed up. She went across the way. She knocked on his door. He was home. He invited her in. And she proceeded to explain her home-based business. And not only did he become a customer, he became her biggest distributor in her business. He joined her business. And she said afterwards, she said, I had avoided this man because I thought that he would be the biggest no of all, not knowing that he would end up being the biggest yes of all. And so we highly recommend chances. Put yourself out there. And go for the big no, because a no is a no is a no, no matter who it's coming from.
Very good. So one last question. Tell me how these fits work for you.
Yeah, we, you know what? We use that last one all the time in our own business. It's so easy to just assume that, oh, gosh, you know, this client, this potential client for us to speak at, you know, would, is way out of our league. But we have completely changed over the last few years our approach, and we go after huge speaking engagements and clients with thousands of people as the potential to speak to, rather than smaller numbers. For that, for us, that's just part of our mission. But we don't prejudge anyone for fear of thinking that we're not good enough, that we're not big enough, etc. And I think going to just about my thing about, you know, don't worry about what other people are thinking. They're worried about themselves. You know, it's so easy to get caught up in what everyone else is doing and to think that everyone's paying attention to you, whether it's family members, friends, or colleagues. And the reality is everybody's just worried about themselves. So in my own life, I think Richard would agree, we've really done some gutsy personal moves. We've moved across the country just recently. We sold all of our stuff. I admit my mom was freaked out about the whole thing. So, but again, I always go back to, you know what, they're really ultimately not thinking about you. Everyone's thinking about themselves, so don't worry about what some thought is going to cross someone's mind briefly about you, and let that somehow steer your choices for your own life. So that's been really big for us, I think.
Andrea and Richard, I really appreciate you taking the time to be here on the show tonight. Thank you so much.
Oh, it was our pleasure. So much fun, Stacey. It was great to chat with you.
Yeah, absolutely, Stacey. It was wonderful.
I enjoyed talking to you. If you would like more information about Richard Fenton and Andrea Waltz, please go to the GetEI.com website. That's GETEI.com, where you'll find out more information about them and the website. Thank you.
And thank you for joining us on Right Now. I'm Stacey Chabot. Have an excellent week.